Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Brian, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
But yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Dude, I'm a fucking idiot. I wasn't recording any of that.
Oh, perfect.
God damn it.
Chill. This is why you don't rush this, man. I'm just gonna have to start from here, basically, right? We're not gonna like fake going back and doing what we just did.
Here we are. Let's just repeat everything we just said.
So we talked about how the reseeding rule needs to change.
Yeah, let's give the cliff notes.
Yeah, reseeding rule needs to change. If we're gonna keep reseeding, the high seed should get to pick who they play.
Yeah, your idea was pick the person versus just automatically the highest seed, which is would add a little excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we made a fun joke about how Luke is on a bye week, which gives him time to join. That was a great joke. Probably would have hit really hard if I.
It would hit really hard. I made like a joke like the boys are resting, even though obviously they're not because they're actually playing. But in our made up league, they're not playing, so it was kind of like a. It's kind of like a fun, cool bit about players resting.
You can imagine. They can imagine. Yeah, they can imagine how fun and cool the bit was.
Yeah. We had the rest versus Russ.
Well, we had to rest because we were laughing about the bit for a couple minutes. Took a break, get some water, regroup ourselves. Rest versus Russ debate. Luke pro rest. And then I realized
rest of development.
Recording. The rest of development, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck is happening with the start of this podcast?
The fun thing is that we only have 55 minutes to record, and I basically blew like 6 minutes of that. So we already have a short pod coming in. I mean, we should start podding, but obviously we only have an hour to get through things. I don't want anybody, if we rush through your matchup, it's not because we don't care about you. It's just we have limited time and resources here. But also, I don't want to let a time crunch on recording stop us from bullshitting. So I got a couple topics before we talk football. Number one, I really need your expert opinion. And not as a fantasy football player, even though I should probably ask that at some point, but we're going to a 30th birthday party thing for two people that whose 30th it is this weekend. Our friends James and Blair, who many of you know, both turning 30. We're going out to the beach, and James's wife Audrey is hosting a Survivor weekend. So we're basically spending the entire weekend playing Survivor.
Wow. That's
cool. I haven't watched Survivor since I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
I'd love if Survivor guy here on the pod would let me know like a couple strategies. Do I make alliances with everybody? Do I backstab? Obviously I got to win the challenges and find the idol. Yeah. I know that much, but,
it's like actual legit, like, you're going to have like challenges and like tribes.
There's already two tribes, tribe name.
What?
We'll get our like scarves or whatever to figure out which tribe we're in when we get to the beach.
Your buffs.
Audrey recorded like a 5 minute video dressed as Jeff Taft Blue Ribbon. and did the whole thing. So it's going to be pretty fire, but I just need a couple of tips and tricks.
I would say, ideally you would have maybe an unassuming alliance member. Like, don't just be like, oh, me and Lauren are an alliance. Do someone like Jordan and her? Really? Well, you have to be a little sneaky. Yeah, winning the challenges would be big.
But yeah, other people are trying to sniff out what the alliances are. Is that why?
Yeah, or if we can just have like they'll just assume that you'll be have an alliance with people that you actually are good friends with. But if you have the kind of a sneaky, and then she'll have other people she'll know and she'll pull in people, it becomes a whole thing. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I mean, you definitely have to backstab. That's just like a just a given.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't see Barry with berries.
What's up, Barreled? Barreled, what you got for me, huh?
You've seen a couple episodes. Yeah, I mean, nothing better than just a blind side. When someone thinks they're chilling and they get voted out.
I can't wait.
I mean, that's the whole game.
But do you, would I guess maybe my question then, like, let's say I'm like the, people don't know who voted for what, right? Like it's anonymous.
On the show, they don't. Yeah, I don't know how your game would work. Probably. I'm assuming it would be anonymous, yeah. They'll just put it, like you put it in a bucket or something, and then someone wins it out.
Do I have to be careful if I'm blindsiding people? For example, like, you know, somebody's like powerful and they're a great player that people would think that you want to keep around. And I maybe go to somebody who isn't the closest with that person. And I say like, yo, this might be a good time to get this person out of the game. Like, what do you think?
Yes.
Could that backfire on me?
I mean, it could, but I like the way you're thinking. That sounds like a good plan. But yeah, it's also very much like, I don't know what the whole crew is, but if there's like you and a couple other people who are doing well in the events, like people are going to be gunning for you because no one wants someone who's good at the challenges around.
God damn. So you got to,
that's the,
you gotta be that good at the challenges.
Exactly. That's the,
dude,
that's the part that took me the longest to like, I mean, this is going to sound dramatic, but like that was the frustrating thing about the first few seasons, like getting into Survivor. I was like, the best person never wins, like ever. If you're too good, everyone is like, we have to get him out, obviously.
Cause they want to challenge here and there too.
Yes. Even if it's just like, if you're really good at challenges, there's no chance you make it that far, usually. Unless you really win every single one. But that's like impossible.
Wow. So the second you slip, everybody.
Yeah, there's people who win like, I would say like, if you win 4 immunity challenges in one season, that's like incredible. And if you lose that 5th one, they're like, okay, he's obviously gone. But then even if you are decent at challenges and you're just like clearly very strategic, like people catch on to that and they're like, okay, this person is playing to win and scary and they'll gun for you. So you got to stay in the middle for a decent bit.
So you think even if it's
kind of like, unassuming,
even if I'm like, I win a challenge and then I'm like, I better lose this one. But people can tell that I lost the second challenge. Like he's plotting too much.
I don't think anyone would catch that. That would be pretty sneaky if you purposely didn't win the second one. But I would just like, some people go in like guns a-blazing, just like talking to everyone and trying to strategize. It's like, no, you got to pick 1 or 2 people you trust and roll with them. If you're in everyone's business, then everyone's like, wait, I've been talking to Jordan about that.
And they're like, he's scheming too hard.
He's playing too hard. Yeah. People don't like that.
Wow.
If you're playing too hard and you're winning too much, those are the two.
God, that's like all I ever do, dude, is just play I ball too hard and I win too much.
That's what everyone says. You're just fucking too hard, dude. Too hardcore.
I'm too hard.
That's a very fun event.
I gotta win something, man. Fantasy's not working out for me, so I might as well try to.
I'm assuming James is quite athletic. There'll be like just all the guys will be winning. I guess like I mean, that's a good thing that Survivor does too. Is like they give not every challenge is just like brute strength or.
Yeah. I've heard only one challenge is outdoors. So the other ones will probably be not bruised. It'll be some level of coordination and, you know.
It'll be like beer pong or what?
I don't know. We'll see. I've got no hints, but.
I'm very excited to hear back on that. That's a.
I'll report back.
We joked about that a long time ago on the pod.
About doing a Survivor challenge?
Yeah. If we won, who are the 12 of us? Who would win?
Oh, wow.
But you get to sleep in your bed. That's nice. You don't have to actually survive in the wild.
Yeah. It's survivor without the surviving aspect.
Which is the fun part.
Pretty chill. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, good luck out there.
What else did I have to talk about? Oh, the only other thing I was going to ask before we get into matchups, I think, is I feel like we have to just talk a little college ball.
Yes, of course.
Obviously, Ducks locked in, 5-12, JMU. You know, we can't really hate the Dukes that much. I don't have anything mean to say. Seems like Twitter's
no, not at all. It seems
big,
like
big love fest.
Yeah, it seems like they've been fun on Twitter.
Yeah,
I saw that one tweet. You see, like when it was like the slow motion highlight.
Yeah, so funny. They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it for them. Like, they have nothing to lose. Like, no one expects them to even put up much of a fight. So,
yeah.
Might as well have some fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think we all expect the W in round one. Well, first of all, electric that we get 4:30 start time. Like, first ever playoff game at Autzen under the lights is so.
Yeah. I was quite surprised.
Me too. I didn't
understand the ordering. That. Like, why? I didn't get why. Like the A&M game isn't the prime time. I was quite confused by. I just assumed we would get the worst slot.
Same.
Like I thought we were gonna be Friday night.
A&M Miami is comfortably the best game of the night, right?
Yeah, and it's the early game.
Yeah, is that the first game of the day?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What?
Yeah, I thought we were for sure Friday because people were just like, oh, whatever.
Totally.
Game on Friday and then make the other ones on Saturday. Was wow. Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about? I don't know. Again, I don't know. There's not that much to debate or talk about when it comes to Oregon, but like the feels like the path is pretty much as good as we could have asked for. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch that much Texas Tech, but everything I've seen is like they have a legit top five defense. Which definitely scares me. And like, especially like they just bought like, which, I mean, nothing against it. We did the same thing, but like they basically bought like a whole brand new defensive line of all NFL dudes. So
yeah,
that definitely concerns me where I feel like with Oregon, it's really, it can just be as simple as if we can run or not.
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole thing. So that would scare me. I am glad. I mean, it's going to be a long trip. For Oregon.
I know. That's the thing.
Miami,
and then it's at 9 a.m. local time is like, I hate that so much.
Yeah. I mean, luckily it's not that far for Texas, but at least it's not like the game's not in like Dallas or something.
Yeah. It's also not during school, so I wonder if they can get out there like a week early.
I would hope so.
Adjust.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, I mean, everything I've seen, it's going to be like the spread's going to be like a pick 'em. Like it's a complete toss up.
It feels about right to me.
Yeah. Defense is legit as it seems. I mean, our defense is obviously legit too. So it could be, it'll be a battle for sure, I would assume.
Yeah. I feel like just trying to predict it out. Like if we win, pick them. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech makes sense. I feel like Indiana would be like what, three at most, like 3.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I guess like 3 or 4. So where's that one? That one's
it's in Atlanta.
No, that's right. It's in Atlanta. Okay. Yeah, I do prefer, even though they literally just beat them, I would rather play Indiana again than play Ohio State.
Yeah.
So I am glad that we're.
I know. I kind of feel that same way.
I am kind of glad. I mean, it sounds silly, but I am glad we're on the Indiana side. And even like avoiding Ohio State and Georgia, I think, I mean, they're both very good. So,
yeah. The thing I keep talking myself into with playing Indiana again is like, obviously, they have very, very legit like NFL talent on their team. But it's like, it's a tiny bit less terrifying than playing against like an Ohio State or Georgia, where it's like these dudes could just take over the game.
The entire team is NFL guys, yeah.
And especially having played Indiana once, where you kind of go like, we got to look at like the things that they made difficult on the team. I feel like they did the same thing to both Oregon and Ohio State, where they got a ton of pressure. The team was like having a hard time adjusting to that pressure and couldn't get the ball moving, got stuck in a lot of like third and longs. But Ohio State at the end of that game started to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like they were moving the ball. They just didn't convert drives. And if we just get enough to like not let Dante get sacked seven times again.
Yes, that was, I saw one of their defensive linemen got hurt. Indiana's.
Yeah.
It sounds, the way it happened sounds devastating. But
just in practice or something?
No, it was when he was like going around the stadium high-fiving people.
No.
He, like, I don't know if he like tore his ACL or like broke his leg or I don't know exactly what happened. But yeah, it was like high-fiving fans along the at the stadium.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer for him.
Thanks.
But yeah, I feel like I would rather face, yeah, like you said, like a coaching staff that can watch the tape and see what adjustments to make. And just, I mean, are we going to have our receivers back? Or are they going to wait again and be like, well, it's just JMU. Let's wait for...
I think...
I would so much rather than play even just like 10 snaps or like get them involved.
Yeah, I think you have to because like... I think that's the great thing about playing JMU is you get everybody kind of clicking on the same page. And the last thing I would want is like completely ruin the like the offense's rhythm or whatever those things are having. Like, weirdly enough, I know DeCorian has been out and Eastu's been out and we've been battling a couple O-line injuries, but like, it feels like Dante has like found a really, really good rhythm with like Malik and even like McClellan and all these guys. Like they've figured out what each of those players does well. Dante's figured out like where to put the ball. And I assume he can figure those same things out with DeCorian. And he's like hasn't ever played a live game with Eastu. So
yeah, I was gonna say Eastu like, would make me a little bit more nervous, but I definitely want DeCorian back. Like he's just too good.
I mean, I didn't think I was gonna have this take, but it's like how much more is Eastu gonna bring to the table than Malik Benson right now?
Like Benson, yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. He's a better player, undeniably, but like
we kind of Benson's on fire.
Yeah.
It would be really hard to take him off the field. But Dak is just like a stud and just a guy you can just give those manufactured plays to.
Yeah, you can do everything with him.
If there's like crazy pressure, like, all right, let's just throw it out to DeCorian for a play.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do. Yeah, I feel good. But
yeah, I know it's, and I feel like, I mean, I'm sure we just see it because we're Oregon fans, but I feel like I've seen like a couple like actual people pick us to win the whole thing. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm sort of trying to go in with I'm trying to have a mindset of like no expectations, but
yeah,
I do think, I mean, I'm curious if you feel the same way, but I feel like there's five teams that could win it all, and I feel like we're one of the five. I think just
I agree. Yeah, I agree. If we can beat Texas Tech, I feel like the rest would kind of be obviously at that point we'll want to win so bad, but at that point it'd kind of be gravy. It's like, yeah, we're one of the four best teams. It was supposed to be sort of a retooling year.
Yeah.
And like if Dante comes back and we have another sick recruiting class, and I'm sure we'll have another sick transfer class. Like we would be a top three title favorite.
But yeah, pretty comfortably next year.
If
Dante's back, we're ranked.
Yeah,
probably second or first.
Yeah, because obviously can't assume Indiana will be this good without Mendoza.
But Ohio State with Say.
Ohio State will be so. Yeah. It might be the two of us.
Yeah, so I'm trying to be like, hey, it's gravy. The 26 always felt like more our year, but I don't think we can't do it. So,
yeah, I agree.
I'm trying to take it slow.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be fun. I'm assuming you're going to the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'll be very fun. Playoff game in Eugene.
Yeah, there's like the small part of me that went like man, it's really like JMU, especially when there was a real like period of time where we were starting to think, God, we could be hosting Alabama.
Yeah,
we could host Miami, and you know, a few teams dropped below us, and you kind of have that disappointment of like, ah, but you know what? Like, their fans are going to be all about it. It's going to feel bigger because there's going to be like a zillion media members and like extra cameras and playoff signage, and people are just going to be, I think, pretty turned up. Especially, yeah. Like I said, like if we got a Friday game or even like the 12 o'clock slot, I was going to be like, this probably won't live up to the hype. But I think even if it's a blowout, I think people are going to be like extremely lit and supportive.
Yeah. And it's going to be like, this is the one of the very few games where you know the entire country is watching. It's not like, oh, we're prime time, but there's 10 other big games, 10 other games going on. But this is the game. This is the college football game it's going to be on.
Yeah. I mean, last thing real quick before we move in, you want to drop any takes on the Notre Dame, Bama, Miami love triangle?
I feel like I don't really have that many strong takes. I'm just like at the point where no matter how many teams there are, I mean, they're for sure going to expand, and then people are going to argue, and no matter how many people, no matter how many teams are in it, people are going to complain about teams that get left out. Obviously, Notre Dame would destroy James Madison, but that's not really how, that's just not how the bracket's set up.
That's not the debate, yeah.
So that's, and I agree they should have, I think they made the right choice. Miami beat Notre Dame, they should be in. It's insane that they had them ranked ahead of them for 3 weeks and then flipped. I mean, I also think it's quite clear that the committee is just like they just take it like minute by minute. They're just like so reactive. Like, there's no way these guys are like grinding these games and like no advanced stats about these teams. Like, there's like, really, we're gonna have Notre Dame over Miami? It's like, yeah, having not been thinking about that for a month, like,
crazy.
It's crazy to me, but
I mean, I'm with you where it's like, obviously the bitching and moaning from Notre Dame is frustrating for two reasons. Because one, you lost to the team that you're being compared against.
Yeah.
And two, you know, we went through like basically from the eternity of since college football has existed or had any sort of like playoff real championship system beyond the ratings, like they never would have been. You lose one game, you're on the borderline. Even with a 4-team playoff, it's borderline. You lose two games, your season's completely shot, and you should have not lost two games if you want to be a champion. Like, for many years that was the case, and so, you know, it's like there has to be some level of consequences to losing a game. I do agree. I do think I know the Notre Dame AD did like a really good interview with Dan Patrick. I agree with you where it's like, he's basically like, I don't even disagree necessarily with the decision. He's like, it's just ridiculous that they didn't rank us lower beforehand. So we just thought we were like,
the process of the committee is crazy. Yeah.
Obviously that makes sense. My biggest issue with it, and I think they made like close to the right decision, especially Miami versus Notre Dame. I think that has to be the decision. But the problem I had with it is they've basically said that conference championship games don't matter at all.
Yes.
Like, I think that based on
what it's only upside. There's no
upside.
They're not punishing anyone.
But is there upside? But let me ask this then. Is there even that much upside? Because they didn't bump Georgia up as a one-loss conference champion over a one-loss conference champion, not conference champion in Ohio State. And it's like, if you want to give any sort of stakes to the conference championship games and say like, this can do something for your season. Yeah, it could have done something for BYU. Yeah, it could have done something for Bama. Yeah, it could have done something for Virginia. But like, I don't understand why, you know, the committee's saying Bama – the committee said the SEC was good because they let Bama in, even though they lost the championship. So why is Georgia not getting rewarded for winning a tough conference? And like, what's frustrating about that too is they like nobody would have really complained about that. Like, and the two difference between two and the three is like not that huge. So just like give them the reward, let Ohio State fall back one. And so there's no reward. And apparently there's no downside either, which like I do understand the concept of don't punish somebody because
they're playing an extra game. And they
it's an extra chance for a loss. I understand that. But there's like has to be some small element though of like with the way that Alabama played, if you're looking at the at-large teams, especially those three that they were debating, I understand resume has to be a part of it, but you also to a certain degree have to go, which of these teams could go win a national championship?
Yeah.
And Alabama went out and like, yeah, it sucks that they had this extra game to expose them, but like they proved without a doubt they cannot win a national championship this year.
Yes, I agree with that.
Low key, like I was talking to a couple college football people around my office like before all this. And one of the things I was saying, I mentioned, I think there's five teams that can win the title. I would have put Notre Dame as like a sixth team. I think they were
good. They, probably
they could have gone on a run and win a title. I don't.
Sportsbook had them like, I think six highest favorites to win. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's frustrating is like, I know that there's like so many variables and you have to kind of anchor in one of them. I get the head to head thing. I get not punishing for the wrong things, but like you also have to have a tiny bit of objectivity where you go, this team is obviously not good. And this team is obviously good. We're going to have to explain it somehow, but like, let's just put the good team in.
Yeah. Yeah. They just did it with the automatic, if you win your conference, you're in, because otherwise, obviously Notre Dame would have been in, but I feel like the committee is there. So it's the best teams. It's not the most deserving. It's the best teams. That's what they've said.
That's crazy.
It's like, obviously Notre Dame is one of the better, like, I mean, everyone goes back to the Florida State. It's like they were the most deserving to make it, but the committee was like, they're not going to be good.
Yeah.
So we're putting in a better team, which I get. I mean, it sucks, but.
But you go, they're not going to win a championship. So, like.
Yeah, they have their backup quarterback. They're going to get destroyed. No one wants to watch that.
Yeah.
But it just seems kind of counterintuitive when they're trying to just pick, okay, let's have a committee who is objective and can pick the best teams.
Right.
But then have all these, like, the shitty ACC team has to make it. It's like, I get because they're trying to make it so these pile games matter, but the ACC didn't even have, like, didn't even matter. So it's just, I don't know. They'll just, I think it's just making it 100%. It's going to be 16, and then they'll have, three Big Ten locks, three SEC locks, couple title game winner locks, and the rest will.
Yeah.
You like a Notre Dame and Miami and they all get in.
Yeah. Notre Dame will have a contract that says if they go over 500, they have to be a participant.
Yeah. Didn't they do something like that? That they're.
Yeah. They, if they're ranked next year in the top 12, they have to be.
How on earth is that allowed? That makes zero sense to me.
No,
how is that possible?
Yeah. That's why.
Fucking conference. God.
Yeah, just join. That's why it's hard to have sympathy for them. And I, it's like, I don't feel bad for them, but I also just think like, if I were a Notre Dame fan, I would be so unbelievably mad for all.
Yes. Teams.
Like, you'd just be furious. I imagine like this Oregon team where you go, God, we're starting to kind of cook.
And yeah.
Just get left out because of like some weird.
And you thought you were in for sure. Like, oh, we're literally above Miami. We're not playing. Sweet.
It was a matter of like, are we the 9 seed or the 10 seed?
Yeah, it's like, who are we playing? Like,
yeah,
versus straight up not making it.
Yeah, that it stinks, but couldn't and, happen to.
Yeah, and going back to your point earlier, if Indiana loses to us or Texas Tech, or people are going to start saying even more. It's like, there's no upside of playing this extra game. You risk getting hurt. Like they had, he wasn't getting hurt in the game, but you have this big rest, and it's just like being, it's clearly a flawed system. If back-to-back years, having the one seed is not a humongous benefit.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I think the nice thing about one seed this year is, unlike Ohio State last year at the 8 seed, I think Alabama and Oklahoma are not as good of teams as
Indiana. No, I agree.
So
they should have a fairly, not, it won't be a cakewalk, but no, it's not like best player Ohio State.
I would, yeah, other than the automatics, I would rather play both of those teams than anybody.
Yeah.
Like okay, I think Miami is better than those teams.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I agree. Alabama and Oklahoma have not looked impressive to me.
Yeah.
Alabama's quarterback, it's just like nosedived.
Yeah, he
stinks all of a sudden.
He stinks. Last college football, forget how little it mattered, but the Indiana Ohio State game was so electric to me. I was just having so much fun watching that happen.
Yeah, because I guess that's another part where it's like they don't really matter, but I mean, you couldn't tell that those kids didn't care. They were playing their fucking asses off,
like, for sure. I would also like it to matter more, because it's like, that's as fun as it gets, is like real stakes, beating your beating a rival in conference, and like that's as
one versus two should have been massive, but it felt big, but it didn't feel like,
no, there were no stakes.
Oh, we gotta watch. It's like, doesn't really matter, they're probably gonna be 1 and 2 regardless.
People were watching just to say, like, how do these teams look against each other?
Yeah. Is Indiana actually legit?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is what I was talking with some people I was watching the game with. Like, it makes me feel, obviously we know that Oregon's good, but it made me feel good. I'm like, okay, Indiana is just really good.
They are.
So our loss doesn't make me feel as bad. After we lost that game, I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Maybe we're just not that good. But I think we are, and Indiana is just that much.
Yeah. Even after we lost to Indiana, we go, Indiana's better than we thought, but you still didn't go like, this is a dominant team.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a nice feeling. They're good, but they just like, they're good. This is what I'm saying, that they're good in a way that they like know how to control a football game.
Yeah. They're very well coached. It's not just talent takeover.
It felt like whatever happened with the Ohio State Rose Bowl last year, like, for whatever reason, like, that team was on a heater, and I'm pretty sure they were just untouchable. Like,
yeah,
whoever stepped on the field that day was getting their asses kicked. So,
yeah.
We should probably move on to fantasy, given how much time we have left. So,
probably should.
I guess, first of all, congrats. I think I said this in the intro, but congrats to you, Luke, George Kittle on a bye. Congrats to Duncan. Can you CD Willamette on the bye? Was it a Brandon? How did that shake out last week that got Duncan the bye over Brandon? Did Brandon lose?
They were playing each other.
Oh, wow.
Does a winner get the bye? And Duncan's team went crazy. He scored 150 something.
Worst host ever. Just no clue what's happening in the
early. Yeah, what are you doing,
bro? I was basically
you're constipation land over there.
I know. I was basically eliminated last week. There was a real world. I just have to shout this out because I think it's fun. But there was a real world where if Scott had beaten Andrew last week, I just had to be 60 points more than Fronik last week in order to make the playoffs. I got within like 48 points or something like that of Fronik. I scored like almost 50 more than him. So when those scores started going, like, I could tell he was having a bad week and I was kind of having a solid one. I was like, is there any way that Scott pulls this one off? And
I didn't even notice that.
Close. Nobody was following that in the playoff race, but
I was just following very unlikely, Duncan and Brandon's.
Yeah. That obviously way more important than me hoping for some miracle. So congrats to those guys, I think, including you.
I'm one of those guys.
Feels like a big year to have a bye, because I think everybody in the playoffs is pretty darn good this year, I would say. I know Andrew's kind of been on a skid, but he got back into form last week. So I still wouldn't want to play him. And getting a free win is pretty huge. So I think we'll start at the bottom. I don't want to spend much time on Tim versus Pip. And I say that just because it doesn't matter at all, but maybe two quick questions for you. Just to shout this one out. Tim actually has Series lead 9-7, so pretty close history of that matchup. Just question I want to ask as they sit in the bottom here. Question number one, quick hitter. Is Tim actually the worst team in the league right now? Is he definitely the favorite to lose, or would you disagree with that statement?
I feel like I would agree, unfortunately. He's just so far behind in just like total points, and it seems like T. Higgins might have a chance to play. I know he got Hampton back, but I don't know. It's just he got Evans back. He's getting healthier. And then, of course, right, he gets healthy. Higgins is maybe going to be out.
Yeah. He's also got – he hasn't activated Jaden Reed off of his IR, but Jaden Reed
– Oh, yeah, over Tillman.
Reed had 7 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown in his first game back last week.
Oh, yeah, for sure do that.
Not a consistent player, but –
Drop like, Dobbins.
This is where I'm like, if you're – In a perfect lineup world, if he stays healthy and gets healthy, you're looking at, like, this is just perfect lineup. It would be Lamar, Hampton, Henderson, and then it would be Evans, Higgins, Reed at wide receiver. And then flex would be Zay Flowers and, like, Zach Charbonnet. That's pretty darn good. And then he's not got good tight ends, but, like,
no,
there's very few, like, weak points in that. That's better to me than these teams that are playing. So Tim just needs to hope that his players kind of stick and get healthy for 1 week when it matters.
Yeah, you just need a good week 16. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree. He's got to put Reed in over Tillman. And yeah, you just hope to save Flowers and you just get that stack if he scores a touchdown. And Hampton and Henderson, Hampton's still sharing carries, but he's better than what Tim was forced to play earlier.
Yeah,
I agree. It's definitely looking better than it was now that he has some of his guys back.
Yeah, and the only other thing I'll say about this matchup, this feels like a year where, and I know you never want to tempt the fantasy gods, but it does feel like a year where it might be better to be the loser in this game than the wiener, just because winner goes up and plays the loser of me versus Fronik, which I think, in my opinion, I think mine and Fronik's teams are better than Rick and Scott. I think Rick and Scott, as I'm trying to say this about Tim, like I think they're all maybe within one tier to me. And again, like Tim at full strength to me is better for sure than these two teams. So it's kind of interesting where like you might be better off sticking in the loser spot. You never tempt fantasy gods. You don't lose on purpose, but I just want to put that out there in the world.
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, I mean, Pip's team is looking is decent. It's not London still being out, Hurts and Daniels. And then Alec Pierce is maybe useless now, which is a bummer. I mean, the Michael Wilson and Brissett stack, who would have thought? But facing the best team, best defense in the NFL, don't like that.
Yeah. That's where the like 60 pass attempts might not work as well when you're playing that pass rush. But
yeah, he's playing Strange over Jake Ferguson. That's interesting.
Strange has been good since he's been healthy again.
Yeah, I guess Ferg hasn't been all that great.
Just to make picks, just for shits and gigs, I'm gonna pick Tim in this one.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Sure. Philadelphia. Let's move on to the next one. Again, try to not spend too much time in the shit zone here. But we've got at 6-8, the Dallas Cowboys, Scott Fitzgerald, who finished 10th place on the season, versus Antoine Randall L. Super Burrito, also 6-8, but one spot ahead in 9th place was Rickolas Nodgers. All-time head-to-head here. Scott leads the matchup 10-6. Pretty one-sided between Scott and Rick there. So Scott with a pretty big historical advantage going in. Rick projected a few points higher, 113 to 107. They previously played in week 5 of this season, where Scott won by a whopping 48 points, 134 to 86.4. Still in the time of the year where we thought Scott might have a good fantasy team, as Brandon so eloquently noted. I guess let's start on the Rick side. Just a couple notes. Rick continues to start players from the Kansas City running game, and
more than one,
which is not what you want. But on the positive note, Christian Watson been taking off for Rick. How are you feeling about his lineup top to bottom here?
He's playing the defense against his favorite team. No respect for his boys.
Anti-Kirk.
We just got a almost touchdown.
Like Buka?
No. McMillan. I like the touchdown.
Wow.
I missed most of that. Buka did have a catch earlier, like 1 second ago. It's been the same story with Rick all year. It's Bijan, Jacobs, but that's kind of it. Watson has been catching fire, which is nice. It's the kind of person you want who can just score 20 points in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting player to have. I feel like Shakir has been fine. Yeah, he hasn't been great. And then Terry's been fine. And yeah, it's not a super exciting team, but Bijan and Jacobs and now Watson can carry you. I guess he doesn't really have any other options. The Dunze being hurt and bad. Trey Tucker at Philly is not good. Yeah. I mean, he's got to just pray that Jacobs is actually playing this week. It sounds like he might not. He didn't practice today.
Yeah.
That would be awfully devastating.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, he's been like on and off the injury report all year. Yeah, it definitely didn't go right for Rick this year. It's just one of those things where it sucks because it's like you look at you go the Jacobs Bijan thing should have worked. You got to build a decent roster around it, and he just has not been able to find the pieces.
Yeah.
It also sucked, like watching Terry in that one game where Marcus was quarterback was so fun, and it was like, where has this guy been? I know he's been hurt, but even like last week with Jaden, he was like, I think he did nothing.
He didn't do much. Yeah,
it's got to be so.
It's fun. A lost season for Terry. Yeah,
having the lost season players, that hurts. Other side, Scott. You know, got some olds on the field.
He's got some whites.
Cooper Kupp somehow still in his lineup. Guy barely plays for Seattle, but Scott seems to think he can still play. He did have a touchdown last week. Huh?
He scored a touchdown. Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Wide open.
My bad.
First decent week since week 6, it appears.
Yeah.
He's good for 24 yards, it looks like.
Man. I mean, for Scott, you know, he didn't draft his own team. A couple things went right. Javonte, good pick. Pittman, good pick. Herbert, good pick. But, he just doesn't have enough here to have been a playoff team. Trying to think of what's really notable here. Could the Herbert and Ladd stack do it against Kansas City this week? I'm curious your thoughts just on how that Chargers offense looks in general. Weird week last week.
Yeah, very bad for everyone involved. I think I saw it was like a 70% pressure rate for the Chargers. That's just like ridiculous.
It was horrible.
I mean, just absolutely zero chance of doing anything. So I kind of throw that game out for Ladd. But then again, it's not like their offensive line is just going to miraculously get good all of a sudden. Oh, they overturned the touchdown.
A heartbreaker for Jalen McMillan fantasy owners everywhere.
Yeah, I think he's on Pip's bench. Big down the stretch. But the Chiefs defense, I mean, at Kansas City is never fun, even though they haven't been great. It's not overly optimistic about that Chargers offense, just when you, when Justin's just running for his life and he has 2 seconds to throw it.
Yeah.
When Lack kind of is good at those sort of double move, long developing plays, they're just not going to be there if the offensive line plays like that again.
Yeah, that's what's weird about Ladd this year. I feel like he, even though you see him as like the scrappy white slot player, like you think about, when you think about that archetype, you think Julian Edelman and little, over the middle of the field and soft spot zone. But Ladd honestly is like kind of like an intermediate downfield.
Yeah, they're going deep, like long developing a crossing plays.
Yeah, I haven't thought too hard about that, but it's I feel like that's correlated to some of the issues that he's had as a fantasy player this year. Like,
yeah,
God, it's such a bummer because Justin does such incredible things and is such a dog. It's got to be really hard for Chargers fans. Like, and me being, you know, as close to a Charger fan as, you know, as you can be without being one, but like, they'd be a legit Super Bowl contender if they just had kept their two offensive linemen healthy, in my mind. Because their defense is playing out of their mind.
Yeah.
Herbert's playing out of his mind, but he's just getting killed, to your point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's obviously a big part, losing two stud tackles.
Yeah. Anywho, I don't know that there's that much to talk about on the Scott side other than that. Do you think Ramondre is going to get it done for him this week or what?
Yuck. Oh, you got, yeah, I don't think so. They still are splitting carries, which is gross, but they clearly still like Stevenson quite a bit. Javonte's, he's actually been pretty good. I was going to say, I feel like he fell off, but he's been good still. He gets a lot of touches. Obviously, George Kittle off the bye, going to be 2 or 3 touchdowns, probably.
Probably.
At least, he got Slayton for me. Yeah, just looking at this without Tyreek and Neighbors is tough.
Not fun.
No. Yeah, it's not the most exciting team.
This is just not a very fun matchup to look at. In general, honestly, this might be less fun. This is what I'm saying. This might be less fun to look at than the Pip and Tim matchup.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's some more exciting players in that one. Who you got here?
I'm gonna go with, I think Jacobs either won't play or be limited, and I'm gonna go with Scotland.
Nice. I'm also going on the opposite side of you again on this one. Yeah, I think I like Rick. I think got a couple players that are on heaters. So we'll see. We'll see if Bijan does much tonight. I think he's gotten a couple nice carries. But I think I like Rick's team just a little better than Scott right now. Let's move on to our last Toilet Bowl matchup. Make sure we save some time for the big ones. But real quickly, it is myself, Johnny, Eugene, 7-7, finished 7th, versus Crater Drake London, Nicholas Fronick, also 7-7. As mentioned, he finished probably 15 points ahead of me or so to catch, to get the 7 seed. All-timer, Fronick leads me 10-5. I was saying 10-6 is a one-sided matchup, but...
Beatdown.
Yep, absolute beatdown. Hate to see that, man. It's a shame I'm playing him in multiple leagues this week.
You have other leagues?
Did I say other leagues?
I think you misspoke. Yeah, you had an S there. That was weird.
Huh. I'm playing him in the league.
Yeah, this league. The one and only.
Yeah, the one true league. All right, well, let's talk about it. Eagles good.
Ooh. Eagles not good.
What makes you say that?
When AJ Brown is good, the Eagles are bad.
That doesn't seem good.
It's very interesting.
I mean, I just, it's like a 0.4 points. It's like a fantasy nightmare slash dream, whatever side you're on. Hurts getting negative 4 points in one play. It's just crazy. Historic.
Have we gotten word if that's ever happened before?
We have word that it's never been recorded that happened. I think
They
like didn't record fumbles or whatever before like the 70s or something. So
gotcha.
It could be the first time ever. Two turnovers on one play by the same player. Which is just
very exciting. What a nightmare week, especially on one where he needed a win. I mean, that's just to need a win, watch your quarterback turn the ball over time again. And that quarterback also happens to be your favorite team playing in primetime standalone game. That's just, I mean,
that's beautiful. That's just pure devastation.
Yeah. It's just like a feeling we all know, but it's just maybe crank that dial up one or two more notches than what you're used to.
And usually when you see 0.4 fantasy points, you're like, oh, he got hurt like the first quarter. It's like, no, he played five quarters. He got extra quarters.
Yeah, he played a lot of snaps of football.
He played a lot more than normal, and he scored 0.4, which is crazy. That's it's also like AJ Brown did well.
Weird.
I mean, he had a weird game. Like AJ Brown had a couple drops, but ended with 100 yards. That offense is just in a funk of all funks. And like you would assume that they would get better against Vegas, but I wouldn't think anything's a guarantee with the way they're playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, boy, if they lose to Vegas, that it's like,
oh God. Real,
it's a serious problem. Vegas
would be the crime of the streets.
Super mega ass. Especially Vegas starting Kenny Pickett. That would be all-time funny if they did.
Would you consider Dart over Hurts?
Oh, wow. No, probably not. Not against – I mean, I know we're joking about Vegas, but they're so bad. They're so bad.
Yeah. Man.
Although that could be one of those games where you just kind of like
– dude, Dart has been good. God, he plays. Look at his game log. He's kind of a machine.
Yeah.
He did rushing touchdown 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row.
The only problem with Dart, he had a pretty bad game last game that he played. He had a bye. He only threw for $139. And
he lives in the medical tent.
It's like the things that Dart does well, which is run the ball into the end zone, that's like, are you really saying he's going to do that more than Jalen Hurts is going to run the ball into the end zone?
Yeah.
I get it. I get why you would say that, but you're going to feel extra dumb if you bench Jalen.
Especially if it's Hurts on your favorite team.
Yeah. It's one of those where
I'm sure he's thought about it.
I'm honestly like, I'm reaching a point in fantasy where I'm like, it might just be better just to don't make the bold decision, because if you do, you're going to feel really dumb. And if you don't, you get to go, what am I going to do? Bench Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Just for my own sanity.
Yeah.
That's like a tiebreaker at least.
No, I agree. Yeah. It definitely is part of it. It's like, who will I feel dumber if they go off on my bench?
Exactly.
Kind of like when people are now talking like benching Justin Jefferson, I'm like, imagine Justin Jefferson scores like 100, goes like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he's on your bench. Like, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Right. I mean, if you have, I don't even know, if you have Rashee Rice on your bench or something like that, sure, play Rashee Rice. But
in the league, our deep.
There's nobody has a bench player that is worth. No, there's no way.
In the league with just like two receivers and one flex, but even then, if he goes off, you're going to feel like a dumb arse.
Yeah, like Duncan, I mean, Duncan's not going to play Quentin Johnston.
No.
Or Jerry Jeudy.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't really want to talk that much about my team just for the sake of time, but I don't know. What do you think about kind of where I stand.
Your squad, it has some exciting players. Chase, if there is no Higgins, would be massive. I feel like he always destroys Baltimore too.
Yeah.
That is
for that game.
Very exciting. How much did he do that? 110. Yeah. Bowers scares me at Philly with Pickett. But the big dog should eat.
Yeah.
Chris Rodriguez feels like a good bet for like 60 yards and a touchdown. Worthy, I don't like. Higgins is fine. But I mean, you got Josh, the big dog, and Chase, what we've kind of been saying all year. Yeah. My, and Fandon went nuts last week.
Yeah, he went a ham squad last week.
It's going to be like negative 10 degrees or something at that game.
Tight end, baby.
He doesn't,
big man can play. I'm so annoyed. It was like the fantasy gods just raising a middle finger to me last week, where I'm like, I've been fighting to figure out like a good RB2 all season long. And I finally have found Chris Rodriguez is the lead back in Washington. And then Tony Pollard goes for 28 fantasy points this week. And it's like, hey, I bet you wanted that all season, right? Fuck you, dumbass. Like,
yeah, of course. This first like good game only, in like 2 months.
It was like only good game of the season, essentially.
Yeah, literally the whole season. Yeah.
And it's like, great. It's the week
in Cleveland
that I play myself out of the playoffs. It made me so mad. Like I don't want you to do well, because just be ass if you like.
Yeah, like you have been.
Don't pretend like you're good. I think I like Fronik this week. I hate to say it.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
Sneaky though, like him having like Blake Corum be kind of a baller, and I don't know.
And Marks.
Like his running backs are pretty nice.
Yeah, facing a stack is always spooky. With the Brown and Hurt stack, Pickens has been great. He's got a lot of home games, which is always kind of nice. I think I would still prefer you. Just I feel like you have slightly more star power that I trust.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bowers. And I just think it feels like one of Josh, Henry, and Chase will go off.
Yeah.
If not two of them.
That's fair. Chill. We haven't picked any of the same people, which is chill, which is cool.
Yeah.
Pick me officially.
It's rare. Yeah. Lock it in. Cool.
Let's start with the 4-5 matchup then in the playoffs here. What's your hard out look like? You got 10 more in you?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll start with Slater Lake, Andrew 8-6, as the fifth seed versus Heath Spiller Hall, the 4 seed. Really quickly, we might as well get a head to head here. Andrew leads 9-7, really hotly contested matchup. I mean, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Marcus Mariota, playoff fantasy starter.
Playoff, Jared's first playoff.
Yes, salute this man.
Since Vietnam, and he's playing Marcus Mariota.
Probably first playoff game since Marcus Mariota was in Oregon.
Yeah, probably. Since his Heisman. It's just beautiful to see, honestly.
The last time Jared made the playoffs, we still thought Marcus Mariota was going to have a Hall of Fame NFL career.
Yeah, we couldn't believe that him versus Jameis was even a question. But he's been good when he's played. It's still, I would definitely say, a little scary, especially in the playoff. But Jones going out is a bummer. Jones had kind of slowed down. But yeah, I mean, playing a free agent quarterback in the playoffs is not how you want to do it. But with, I mean, McCaffrey and Devontae.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your team where he just has, I guess it is kind of just those two guys that you really trust, but they can just, I mean, those are guys who could easily score 2 touchdowns in a week.
Yeah. They're so terrifying. They're like anytime if either of those teams is in the red zone and you're playing against them in fantasy,
yeah,
God,
it's like how is every play designed for them?
Yes.
Kyle Pitts touchdown. Come on. He did it.
If you want to switch your pick to Rick just for the for the vibe.
If Kyle Pitts Sr. scoring touchdowns, and it's wow.
Kyle Pitts Sr.
That's what it just said.
I know. I don't, someone's saying when there's a 24-year-old senior.
Yeah. Also, just they overturned the McMillan goal line carry for Sean Tucker. That's not fantasy football playoffs. I don't know what it is.
That's
Sean Tucker, one-yard run, not Bucky.
Yeah. Not a single soul playing Sean Tucker in their lineups.
Yeah. And the Kyle Pitts just walking easy touch. Oh. Let's go. Jared's team. Yes, McCaffrey and Devontae. It's like red zone. The whole offense just shuts down, and the play is going through both of them on their teams, which is nice people to have. Harvey is the lead guy. He's interesting. I feel like he's. God, I guess he's been quite good with touchdowns.
It's weird though.
Every time I watch him, like he doesn't run anywhere, but I guess he keeps getting in the end zone.
Or like when I watch Broncos games, I'm not like, man, they're really feeding RJ Harvey this. Like, I don't feel like I even notice that he's out there. But
yeah,
almost like, 20-point games in a row.
Yeah, Washington, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. He went 13 for 35 rushing.
Yeah,
but he had two touchdowns. It's like can't get too mad at that. At home, tough matchup.
But yeah, that's a tough matchup. That could be a gnarly low-scoring game.
Yeah. At least it's not going to be like the rest of the Midwest. It's going to be nice here, so it's not going to be freezing like a lot of these games. Devonta, you just cannot trust anyone in that Eagles offense, and we've talked about it every time I'm on this pod, but he's also just a scary guy to have on your team. He could easily just score 2 points or 20. Tet has been nice in a dome. I like that. Warren with maybe Philip Rivers at Seattle. I mean,
the fact that they're putting Rivers out there at Seattle, I only realized that game was that it was at Seattle. That's almost the worst thing you could do.
Yes. They're just throwing him out to pasture to die. It's going to be hard to watch. Or it's going to be,
I was looking,
hard to watch, I think.
I was doing a different thing. I happened to look up Carson Palmer for different reasons. People are talking about the Bengals and, you know, Burrow could pull a Carson Palmer or whatever. Carson Palmer is 1 year older than Phillip Rivers.
Currently.
Carson Palmer hasn't played football in 8 years.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And it's not like when Rivers was playing in 2020, it was like, oh, this is hard to watch.
He was too old.
Yeah. That was 5 years ago.
He was the stiffest quarterback we've ever seen. Man.
It's a blessing that Duncan has a bye. Imagine facing Seattle defense this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Watching that game with your fingers.
You're like, you're just hoping. You're hoping to take it easy. Yeah, no pick six.
It's going to be eight sacks.
Yeah, but, like, do they let up on him because they respect him once it's like 35-0?
Yeah, it's going to be eight sacks and a pick or two, but hopefully they don't run it back.
Right, yeah. Tackle the corner on the 5-yard line, please.
And then Jared's had, I mean, he has a super deep team. I feel like he's kind of turned into what we thought Andrew was going to be more. Like, I mean, having Jacoby Myers on your bench,
there's no way he's not going
to play. Awesome. That's what I'm.
You can't.
He has Singletary in right now.
Wow.
Which,
gosh, man. I don't know about that. Jacoby's like their best guy now.
Yeah, Jacoby is for sure in for me.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think Neil is in for sure. So it just comes down to Singletary.
He must just like the Carolina and Neil's playing Carolina. Singletary's playing Washington. Two really good rushing matchups. That must be why he is doing this. But
Jacoby at home against the Jets.
And it's like you definitely can't. Good. You can't bench Devontae or Tet just for ceiling reasons. I don't know. Yeah. Could you bench Devontae?
I was just thinking.
I don't know.
It's definitely between Devontae and Singletary.
I feel like you have to get Jacoby Myers in your lineup.
I agree.
It's the Jets, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, Singletary could easily score home game against really bad defense. That's tough. It is kind of the thing where you get to this point where you almost wish your roster is just like locked. Yeah. You have all these question marks. You're like, God damn it. I know I'm going to make the wrong decision.
This is one of those where like, I totally get it, but you have to go, like, if you leave Jakobi Meyers on your bench after he's scored touchdowns three straight weeks and he scores a touchdown, you're going to go, what am I doing?
Of course.
If Devin Neal goes off, you can go, hey man, it's Devin. Yeah. I couldn't possibly have known he was going to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Devin Neal's like pretty decent. Yeah. It's tough.
Maybe Singletary, you talk yourself into maybe like Jackson Dart gets the, I just think you can't leave Jakobi on your bench. I'm sorry.
I agree. I would be playing him.
Yeah. You want to talk
Andrews? Not that we're giving free advice out. But.
Yeah. I have to go run and grab a computer charger, but you want to start talking about Andrews' team?
Yes, I would be honored. Andrews' team. Joe Burrow back. That is lovely news for Andrew. I feel like that's sort of been his one weak spot on his roster. Just like I was saying with Jared, his roster is super deep. He has a decent guys on his bench. He just didn't have a quarterback. Now he does. With the running backs, Etienne's been good. Judkins has bounced back, I feel like, a little bit. Yeah, he's been decent. In that game, it's going to be like 10 degrees. It's going to be a lot of running the ball. Amon-Ra in a dome is lovely. DK went off last week, but has not been great.
That was like two, the DK was like, it was like two sideline moon balls.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you, I mean, I don't know who he would play, Sutton or Keenan.
Yeah. I'm not saying, but I would, yeah, maybe not Sutton against
Sutton's
been pretty good though.
Yeah. He has. That's kind of a toss up. Ibuka, I always want to pronounce his name like the way Gronkowski did. It's like really messing with me. Like Big Boo or whatever he said.
Yeah.
We were talking about it a bit earlier, but he has been really not good.
Yeah.
Five straight weeks. And it's not going to help, I wouldn't think, having Mike Evans back and Godwin healthy, but it just seems like something's off with Baker. If it's the offense or he's hurt or something is off.
Yeah. You know what's funny about this though is like you can't bench him, and this is the dumbest reason, but like you remember last year there was that Tampa Bay Atlanta game that was like 42-38 or something.
Yeah.
It was like a Thursday night game. I'm just keep being like this game has to be that game.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know. It's like you have to be like, well shit, if he gets into an absolute shootout.
Yeah,
it seemed like it's quite that case, but we've got a couple touchdowns so far. So
that could be a bit of a shootout. Yeah, I remember that game. I was at a rehearsal dinner. That was when Mike Evans scored like three touchdowns after I traded for him, and I was so fucking hyped. In the constipation bracket or whatever I was doing. And then Saquon had his first decent game in a minute. Should be easy at home against Vegas. But again, it doesn't feel like a guarantee. Swift against Cleveland. I feel like Cleveland has sort of been getting destroyed on the run, on the ground. Maybe that's just because Tony Pollard did, but it's still, I feel like he's still missing the star power with Saquon not being amazing outside of Amon-Ra, but it's still, I mean, it's still a good team. Obviously, in the playoffs, these are two really good teams, but it's an impressive lineup still. Outside of Hawkinson.
So it's a team I'm very conflicted about for sure. At every spot you still like the players, and to the point earlier, like the fact that Cortland Sutton is sitting on a bench somewhere is pretty impressive. But yeah, I'm like, boy, you just don't have the CMC and Davante Adams type guys that are like, where to your point, like watching through your hands, I don't want to watch this game because I know you said Amon-Ra in a dome, but like playing against the Rams isn't the easiest. That's probably your guy that could absolutely go off. We're a quarter in and Ibuka has like one decent catch, but
yeah, I think
like he's going to have like an explosion. I don't know. I I think he really needs his running backs to carry him this week. It's going to take big weeks. The running backs in this one are really interesting just in general, but
It's actually having four legit running backs is hard to find.
And both teams, at least for now, are starting four running backs against each other.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is going to be like which team gets touchdowns in my opinion. when you're playing running backs, you need the touchdowns. So
yes.
It's pretty fascinating. Jared's got a lot of unorthodox names when you look at the RJ Harvey and Devin Neal, but I think I would pick him over Andrew right now, just for the, it's all the things you said of like, he's got a couple guys who could just score a ton of touchdowns. And he's got to hope that maybe they like manufacture a bunch of touches for Tyler Warren in place of Philip Rivers actually having to throw the ball. So, I don't know. I think Jared just has a couple like 25, 30 point explosions out of dudes that carry him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to make similar points. I agree. This will be our first agree. I'll take Jared. I think they're both good, solid lineups all the way through. McCaffrey and Devontae are kind of the difference for me. Those are guys who can score multiple touchdowns that I don't really see with Andrew, but it should be quite the battle. But I lean Jared, especially if he puts Jacoby in.
Yeah, this is a really fun matchup. Also, being projected 128 to 126 is pretty electric.
Yeah.
Very high.
It is.
Both teams, as a matter of fact, projected more points than the Brandon and Mike matchup. Brandon, we mentioned it earlier, 8-6, didn't quite find his way to a bye week, finished third place versus Mike, 6-8, Mike's record, somehow in the playoffs over 2-7-7 teams, makes you think. But of course, Mike, the beneficiary of the rules, eighth place in the standings, but sixth place in our hearts. All time record. Let's see who leads. It is Brandon 10-4. I'm going to talk about bloodbath. Brandon has Mike's number, I would say. Can he do it again? Boy. It's been the JT and Jameer show. It's insane how Brandon has had the most impactful first half of the season running back, and then the most impactful second half.
They swapped powers,
and they're two different guys. So pretty cool.
That's fun.
Must be fun.
That is fun. Yeah, Gibbs is just ridiculous. Yeah, they literally just flipped like this same week. Like once after his bye, JT hasn't been. I mean, he's been fine, but he was averaging like, it felt like 30 points a game. And now Gibbs, since Campbell took over play calling, it's just, 36, 17, 49.9 from one person. God. His shitty game, 10 points, and then 33. It's just ridiculous. And then another, I think the rest of their games are all indoors. Yeah, this is a dome, and then home, and then at Minnesota. Yeah, so Gibbs on these fast tracks and these domes, it's just ridiculous. And Campbell is, which I love, is the kind of coach, like how we play Madden. It's like, why not just do the plays where I give it to my best guys?
It's crazy.
Let's just design these plays to Gibbs. Like just throw a screen route to the side. Like let's stop just right at the middle with Montgomery or just.
It is wild watching them where it's like every play, no matter what they do, it feels like I'm like, that's Jahmyr Gibbs that they just ran on like the slant route over the middle, or that's Jahmyr Gibbs.
They like line him that wide. Yeah.
He's the one who just lined up in the slot and went on a wheel route and just got a ball thrown to him over the linebackers. Like every single, they do everything with him. And
he's just better than everyone. So let's just give him the ball in as many different ways as we can.
He's the guy who gets the title of like probably the best football player on the field.
Yeah.
And running backs don't win you Super Bowls or whatever, but like he's probably just the best football player.
They win you fantasy championships.
They do win you fantasy championships. Brandon hopes so. I got to make one very small note on this, just because hilarious to make a playoff matchup about me. But there was a moment in the season when I had like been trying to trade with people. I had, It was Jahmyr Gibbs was coming off the 1 week where he scored like 4 points or something. And yeah. Jamar Chase was on an absolute heater. And I was engaging in a Jahmyr swap. But at the time I was asking for more on top, because Jahmyr was coming off of whatever. And I was like, if I could get Jahmyr and a little bit of something else like this, I would be willing to, you know, like try to bolster my roster, whatever. I think about it. I've thought about it every week of the season, because after that is when he started taking off. And I'm like, if I had just come to Brandon with a straight up swap of those two players, I think I would have won almost all of my matchups.
Probably. At that point. Yeah.
Like both the matchups I lost by like a couple points, I pretty much would have like ran the table the rest of the season and would be like the 3 or 4 seed, but whatever.
It's definitely hard to lose. And you have a guy who scored 30 points a game.
Yeah.
And he's had, I mean, just look at their averages. JT's averaging 22.4 and Gibbs averaging 21.4.
So ridiculous.
Ridiculous. 10 I points think, more than like anybody else on either of these teams.
Yeah. An interesting note about Brandon's team. I do think amazing up top, and he's got a couple receivers and like a Trey McBride playing well. I think what's really interesting, Trey McBride, a lot of people have been noting he plays Cincinnati, who gives up a zillion points to tight ends in week 17. So I'm sure Brandon's licking his chops of like, I just got to get there. However,
so the Houston week, yeah.
This week here is really interesting because to your point, yeah, Houston, tough matchup. That offense could like finally kind of crumble a little bit. And Brandon's playing some tough players. I mean, DJ Moore against Cleveland, Kenny Gainwell, like had a good game, but he's Kenny Gainwell, and Bam Knight, who had a really not good game last week and is now playing Houston also. Like Brandon's fighting through some pretty difficult matchups, especially when he's looking over the other side where it's like Mike's got like good top to bottomness. But I mean, what do you think? Very stars and kind of not scrub. Like Harry McBride's not a scrub, but there's some good here, but there's also some tricky stuff. Even JT with Rivers.
Yeah. That's, I mean, obviously Seattle's going to know what the Colts game plan is going to be. Get JT as many touches as possible near the line of scrimmage. Yeah, if you look at Brandon's team, like at his actual team page, it's all red. Every matchup is,
oh my god,
like single digit red. I mean, Gainwell's been shockingly good. Like he's been an awesome flex the last month in that Miami at home. Miami doesn't concern me, but I do agree having that second flex is a little bit more interesting with having to play two Cardinals is not my fave.
Yeah.
But I guess it would be like him or Vidal, but
yeah, you don't really know what's
going on. I feel like he kind of got lucky on that one big catch.
Yeah. And you can't play Flournoy unless CD's out, but Brandon has CD.
Yeah, he has CD.
You just would be swapping in if CD does sit. So it doesn't really help them much.
Yeah. And then, like you said, DJ Moore has just become like a complete zero.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Even with the Dunze out, I don't like, I've already mentioned it a couple of times, but it's going to be like Blizzard against Cleveland. I do not like that matchup one bit.
No.
Olave's been standard Olave, just solid, not spectacular. Mahomes, I guess the last game he was terrible, but Houston is just a whole different beast. Home in a game where he has to win, kind of just going to bank on Mahomes being good. Mike's team, yeah, he got screwed by that non-Bucky goal line carry. It's annoying.
That sucks.
This is another Giants running back roster decision. I don't. Are you starting Aaron Jones over Tracy? Wow. Tracy's been pretty good. Has
so
he
Tracy? Not? This is what's weird about the Giants thing. Tracy's actually projected more. He's projected more than Singletary was, but Tracy has had the last 3 weeks, 16, 14, and then 3.8 last week. So like last week sort of flipped on his head. He had 10 carries for 36 yards and negative 3 receiving yards. Like,
yeah, I think those carry amounts.
Yeah. Which were strong until at New England, but I'm just like, I'm avoiding that situation if I can. That being said, Aaron Jones hasn't been
a whole hell of a lot better. Yeah.
God, they just 2 weeks ago, actually, two of the last 3 weeks, Aaron Jones has had less than 10 catches. I'm sorry, less than 10 catches.
Yeah.
But he's playing at Dallas.
Could be a fun shootout.
Yeah. It's got to be that.
That's another tough. Oh, he has Pitts on his bench. I didn't clock that.
Mike, too many tight ends this year. He's like almost exclusively played the wrong ones, I think.
Yeah. We talked about it every time on the pod. He didn't trade a single tight end. He did trade a quarterback.
Yeah. And got Brian Thomas.
Which ended up being good. He traded the right one. He kept Dak.
Do you start? I guess he can't start Tracy over Brian Thomas. Because he only has 3 receivers, but
yeah, it's got to be flex.
I was excited to have that debate. Yeah, this is an interesting one. I do think there's some good matchups. Like regardless of what you think about Aaron Jones at Dallas could be big. Kyren against Detroit, and then if Bucky can really get it going and actually get the goal line touches here, pretty sick. The one matchup call out I think I would like to call out is Steph Diggs Buffalo revenge game part two. Last one was the one where he had like 15 catches or something, and we'll see if they need to use him again. That's actually a really, really fun just real life football game, so
yes,
that should be pretty electric. We'll see if they can get him going, but yeah, still like This team is still good top to bottom, and if you're really worried about Aaron Jones at Dallas, like it's still a lot better than the Bam Knight and DJ Moore plays on the other side.
Yeah, that's fair. Genty at Phillies, I don't like.
Yeah, that's hard.
Kyren, I mean, he's like splitting carries now. He's still a good bet for a touchdown.
Yeah.
But not as dominant as he could be. I think his team is a little bit more even across versus Brandon Starrs. And I just think the way like Gibbs and CeeDee and McBride could just carry him, and it would be huge for Brandon to get a win. That's goes without saying, but to survive this week with all brutal matchups, he would be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's how I'm feeling. Is if he makes it through this, he could very easily go on to win the whole
thing. Yes, definitely.
Because it's gonna get lighter. That being said, I think I'm going to pick Mike in this game for an upset, and I've loved Brandon's team all year, but I just think there's so many question marks on Brandon's side. And like, this is me making the assumption that JT doesn't have a big game. I just like cannot see him having, I don't even think he scores a touchdown. And it's like, you're basically saying to me, I look at this lineup and I say, if Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't have a 20 plus point game, I think it all starts to kind of crumble on itself. And at the Rams, I get it in a dome and whatever, a big game, he could explode, but that's one of the better defenses in the league. I think if they're smart, they're going to make sure they do everything they can to take Jahmyr Gibbs out of the game. So, I wouldn't have expected I was going to be doing this, but I think I like Mike in an upset, just Brandon, a matchup week from hell. So,
yeah, I'm going to still go with Brandon to squeak out and survive the schedule apocalypse.
Yeah, two really fun playoff matchups. I'm glad we disagreed on almost everything. That's it. If this season taught us any lessons, it's that you're probably mostly right and I'm probably mostly wrong about this thing. So you've made a lot of good calls.
I feel like I never picked the right team.
You picked the right players this year, so maybe
that's true.
Maybe you know a thing or two. Any parting thoughts for our playoff brethren?
I'm just going to try to relax before I'm going to be ripping my hair out in front of my family watching stupid fantasy. I just want to say I miss Cam Scadaboo. I think about him every day. I wish he was at my flex position, but he's not. So the season's dedicated to him. We'll see how far the boys take us.
And one for Scat.
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks for staying on much longer than anticipated.
Yeah, to run.
Okay. Best of luck in your bye week.
Hey, thank you. And good luck in your matchup. Your matchup does matter.
You know, in a sense.
Slightly. Yeah.
I won't be sweating. Everybody have a fun fantasy playoffs.
Yeah. Go Ducks.
Let's go Ducks. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.